All right, if not, we'll be back in Psalm 92 tonight. Psalm 92. We did the first half, I believe Sunday night. We'll look at the second half of it tonight. And when we looked at the first half of Psalm 92, I like how it begins. It says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High." And we looked at that, you know, a psalm of the Sabbath, one of thankfulness. And, you know, verse 2 gave us some instructions that we can thank. One of the things we can thank God for in the morning is his loving kindness, or another way of saying it is his mercy in the morning. And then in the evening, we can give thanks to his faithfulness. Every night, we can thank God that he is faithful. We talked about after that how great the Lord's works, it says, were great and his thoughts were very deep. But the fools didn't understand that. We see that in this world. You know, the fools, they don't understand the depths of God and the depths of God's word. And then, you know, so you see there was some comparisons in here between the unrighteous or the fool and God. And we will continue to see comparisons in the rest, the second half of this psalm, especially the righteous versus the wicked, or the Lord versus the wicked. You'll see these comparisons as we go, as the psalm continues, almost kind of like the way Proverbs, you know, kind of does the same thing a lot of times. It's a contrast here. But remember, this is a psalm of thankfulness as we're doing some of these comparisons. So we'll start in verse 7 and read down. It says, so Psalm 92, 7 says, "When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that shall rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this psalm. And Lord, I pray that you would use me to be able to preach tonight. Fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to hear and to learn and to apply your word. And Lord, help it to be the praises of our lips. And we thank you for all things. And thank you for what you're doing in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. So we see here in verse 7, it's talking about the wicked spring as the grass. And I don't know about you, but we are getting to that time of year where you mow the grass and it doesn't take very long and that grass comes right back up, and that's going to continue for a while, even though we don't like it. But it springs up really quickly around now, especially when it rains and we've got sun and rain and sun, and it continues. And what he's saying right here is wickedness seems to grow just as fast as the grass is growing right now, just springing up. And then the verse continues and says, "When all the workers of iniquity do flourish." We are living in a time where wickedness is flourishing, it's growing, it's thriving, just like the weeds that grow in the garden that you have to pick out. So is iniquity is growing that fast. And we've said it many times, this world promotes sin. It beautifies it, it gives it different names. And there are whole industries that are thriving out there that all they do is promote wickedness and unrighteousness and everything else. And that can be frustrating to us as Christians, to see how fast wickedness is increasing, to see how it seems to flourish all around us. And you know, the devil will use that. The devil will use the flourishing of the wicked, the thriving and prosperity of the wicked, to tempt us to join them at the expense of righteousness. That's what he'll tempt us to try to get around, like we said at the on Sunday morning, to get around God's way and do it our own way. Sometimes we feel a little more like Job, who lost so much. And then, you know, remember Jesus talked about the rich farmer who was ready to pull down his barns and build greater ones so he could lay up much goods. And remember, his plan was to take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. And don't we see that today? We see there are people in this world where it seems that they're given everything and prosperity. Everything they touch turns to gold. And all of these blessings, but Jesus Christ was, he made something very clear, that the prosperity of the wicked is never permanent. It's never permanent. And verse 7 ends with this: they shall be destroyed forever. So even the ones that are flourishing, the wicked shall spring as the grass. The workers of iniquity do flourish. It is that they shall be destroyed forever. Now remember back to the rich farmer who was going to pull down barns and build greater ones. You remember what God told him? He said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." And so you planned ahead for all sorts of things. And that wasn't the problem in that parable. It wasn't that he planned ahead. And it wasn't that he worked hard. And it wasn't that he was a farmer. The problem is he spent all of his time planning out farming and his retirement and everything else, but didn't plan anything on God. Didn't plan anything for after this life. And that's the problem with this world. The wicked, they will be destroyed forever. But we can't buy into the devil's lies of temporary riches. He wants us to trade temporary, fleeting riches that may never even come in exchange for eternal rewards that are secure and promised from a faithful God. That's what the devil tries to do over and over again. And there's a lot of people that say, you know, that after this life, the punishment, if God does punish, some don't even believe that he does, but if he does, it'll only be temporary. But verse 7 doesn't say they shall be destroyed for a while, or go to purgatory for a while, or work it off for a while. It says forever.
Yeah.
It's forever. And the Bible's consistent with that. But here's the first contrast, verse 8. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. No matter how high and lifted up this wicked world seems to get, no matter how much more power and influence the devil seems to get, and how much he tries to offer and to tempt us, aren't you glad that the Lord art most high forever? He is the God that rules and reigns forever up in heaven. It is forever, forever settled in heaven. He dwells higher than the wicked. And in fact, Satan tried to put his throne above the throne of God, and it never worked. It didn't work then, and it won't work today, and it will never work. Even if the wicked are flourishing, the Lord is still high and lifted up. He is still in charge. He's still on the throne. And we can take comfort in that. I think about if you look at verse 7 and verse 8 with the temporary flourishing, but God being eternal, it reminds me of Isaiah 40 and verse 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Not only will our Lord be on the throne forever, but his word will stand forever. I'll tell you what, things come and go in this earth. The wicked will prosper for a time. Things that are politically correct only last a little while. We've seen it now. Morals, one thing that was moral today isn't moral anymore, and really vice versa. Things that were immoral are now accepted today with this world. It is just like the fading of the flower. Just like you plant them, they're there for a while and they go away. But aren't you glad God's word is not like that? It's not temporary. It's not fleeting. It's not seasonal. It will stand forever. And I'm thankful for that. Even when this world is gone, the Bible's still true. It's still there. And that word that was made manifest and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ, he's going to rule and reign forever. And I'm glad he's lifted up. He went back to heaven and he's still there until he comes to get us. But not only that, look at verse 9. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. When Jesus Christ does come back to this earth to judge and to rule and to reign, he will eliminate all enemies. He'll sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. He will, and in fact, that's the highest point. I know there's high mountains that they climb, but there is no greater point, no higher point in God's view than there on the throne on the temple in Jerusalem. And that's where Jesus will sit, and he will rule, and he will give an example of how to righteously and correctly and truthfully rule. But the Bible says that after 1,000 years, the devil will be loosed, and he will, all those workers of iniquity that are scattered, he'll bring them all back together and try to fight against Jesus one more time and try to knock him off one more time. But that attack will be just as frivolous, unsuccessful, because at the end, Jesus Christ will win. He will get rid of every enemy. And I'm glad he's going to lock up the devil one time for the last time forever. No more deception. No more lies. No more accusing the brethren. None of that. He'll be gone forever. And I'll tell you what. This is what he's reminding us. Remember, now, temporarily, we see the wicked flourishing. But he's saying, listen, the enemies will, they shall perish. And all the workers of iniquity will be scattered. There is going to be no power there. Nothing to go against our God. Here's another side of it. Verse 10, but my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. See, we read that, we struggle because we think of the unicorn with a horse with one horn, but it's really talking about a wild ox that had one horn. And to me, I'm not exactly sure what it looks like, but I think of a rhinoceros that has the one big horn. That's kind of the same type of an animal, one that couldn't be tamed, one that couldn't be, very strong and would just kind of toss things around with its horn. And you think about that. While the enemy is brought down, while the enemy is scattered and defeated, he's saying that he's going to raise God's people up. Do you see what it says? My horn. The psalmist is saying that. My horn shall thou exalt. Aren't you glad that when we get frustrated, when we get exhausted and depressed and everything else, there's God that can lift us up. He takes his humble people and he lifts us up. He helps us out. Not only that, he says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I don't know about you. I've been in times like that where it was hard to even do something. It was hard to get the strength up. It was hard because we were exhausted, frustrated, depressed in this journey. But aren't you glad that there's fresh oil from the Lord, fresh from the Holy Spirit? We aren't relying on our own strength. If we were like this world, relying on our own strength, we'd have to pull our own selves up. But we've got a God. I'm not pulling him up. He's pulling me up. Praise God. He is the one that's helping us. And we get fresh oil from above. He says, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Reminds me of Lamentations 3:22 and 23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I love that reminder. We don't have to work off of yesterday's blessing. We don't have to work off of yesterday's grace and mercy or oil or anything. He has got a fresh dose for every day. Why? Because he has an endless supply. He can supply our needs. We don't have to stockpile it up. We've got a God that's good enough. I tell you what, it does cause us to have to pray to him every day. It does cause us to have to get into his word every day. Oh, but it's there. The power is there. The anointing is there. The Spirit is there. The mercies are there. I shall be anointed with fresh oil, even when the wicked seem like they're flourishing. Right? And remember, this is a psalm where we're thanking him and we're praising him for these things. Let's keep going. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. And you think about, again, the wicked's time is temporary and fleeting, that they're thriving. It's only temporary. But the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. And he talks about this flourishing forever. And we don't have palm trees around here, but I'm sure you've been to one of those places, one of those beach places. places like Florida or different places and you've seen those palm trees, you know what they look like? They've got that one, you know, that kind of that one trunk that goes pretty much straight up way into the air. They stand tall, just like the cedars of Lebanon. Same thing, a giant tree going straight up in the air that's able to weather the storm, right? Those palm trees could be in the desert and they could still flourish and they could still be fruitful even in the midst of a desert. That's what he is making a comparison to the righteous. We can stand tall like a palm tree when everyone else is crooked and bent and wicked. We can be upright and righteous because of God and God's word. We shall flourish even in the midst of dry times, even in the midst of storms and everything else. I tell you, it may take us a little longer to prosper the righteous way, but I tell you what, we don't have to be worried about it. You know, at work, we look at, we're trying to find people that are doing different types of crime through the bank. And there are people that I know that are scared to death that today might be the day that they get caught. Not even realizing that someone like us is looking at their account right now and is about to tell the government what they're doing. And then they'll investigate it and somebody may come knocking on their door and may take them off to jail. And their whole life is changed forever. But they're wondering, is today the day? Aren't you glad? Us the righteous, we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about, will somebody figure our scheme out or our fraud out? We don't have to think about those things. Yeah, we'll face persecution, but I tell you what, we will flourish the right way and God's way. And our rewards are not temporary, but they're eternal. And that's one of the great blessings. The same God that gives the increase and who builds the church and who saves lost souls and who heals the backslider, he is the one that will reward. Amen. It's his work. It's his doing. But here, one of the things that I saw, look at verse 13. It keeps getting better as we go. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. You want to know the best way to flourish? He makes it crystal clear right here by the time you get to this verse. Those that be planted. Don't you know what we see? We see a lot of people that are fleeting in the house of God. Or they just attend casually or they visit from time to time. That's not what he says. If you want to flourish in the courts of our God, you need to be planted in the house of God. That's what he's saying right there. He said, those that are planted, I tell you what, the work that we do for the Lord, the work that we put into God's house and his plan and his calling for our life, that will translate into eternal rewards. I will tell, it is not popular, but you get into this book and you look at every time that either Jesus or John or one of the prophets talked about a time of judgment and reward and different things like that. For the righteous, there are different rewards. That's all there is to it. It's over and over again as you look through the parables and other things. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt that those that are planted in the house of the Lord will have different rewards for those that aren't. The courts of our God. Where is that? That's not here and now.
Yeah.
That's later. But even on this earth, aren't you glad that we can flourish down here as well? Oh, we may not get every want. We may not get every plaything or pretty or whatever. But I'll tell you what, God allows us to thrive. Yeah. God allows us to be blessed. We have more than we need over and over again throughout our life. God's blessed us. We've been to Haiti and we've been to Central America and to the Philippines and other. We've seen what people have to live with and we've seen, and even with so much less materially, I've seen people thrive with nothing. But they had the Lord. And they were rich. And it's a blessing to think about that. But what's our flourishing? They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. Take that, health coach. And then 15, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Yeah.
You know what the truth is? when we trust God for blessings, when we trust God to reward us and to help us to grow and to help us to flourish, and we become one of those palm trees, those cedars that is planted in the house of God, and people see that we're getting blessings, not from the same place the world is. It shows us right there in verse 15, that shows and proves to the world that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This world does not understand blessings that are eternal. They don't understand blessings that aren't temporary and fleeting, right? If you say you're satisfied in Jesus Christ, and they come back 5 years from now, and you say you're satisfied in Jesus Christ, and you come back another 5 years, and you say you're satisfied in Jesus Christ, they don't understand that. Because 10 years ago, they were satisfied with something else. 3 years ago, they switched it to something else. Now they're finding temporary joy in something else. They can't find it in this life. But I tell you what, when they see us relying on God, trusting in God, giving our life over to God, and see Him blessing our lives instead of us blessing our lives, they will see that God is upright. Why? Because we can point to this and say, God is giving me what He promised. God said, you put me first, you follow me, you let me lead your life, and I will take care of you, right? Isn't that what He says? Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about your raiment. Don't worry about these things. You put Him first and see what God will do. And then when this world sees that, they'll see there's something different. They'll say, wait a second, why aren't you worried about what you're going to eat tomorrow when we've got a pandemic or whatever else? I tell you what, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That's what the Bible says, and that's what we've seen in our own lives. And you can just go on and on and on. God shows Himself true. But God can also show Himself true in our lives for other people to see. And then we get back to the beginning. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing His praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. See, He is trying to show us something that, listen, it starts with mercy, right? It started with mercy. That's how we began this whole thing. We would have never been able to come to God if His mercy didn't start it off with Jesus Christ, right? If Jesus didn't come and die for our sins, we would have nothing. We couldn't approach God. We needed that blood to atone us and to make us clean and to make us a fit subject. But the mercy came first. But also, it was followed up by everything else. And then at the end, He's faithful. And in that, everything in between is what God is doing in our lives. And whether God is giving us wisdom, whether God is directing us, whether God is giving us grace and strength, whether God is helping us to live in this world, this wicked world, as an upright and righteous person. Every time we trust in God, it further proves that He is upright. The Lord is upright. Every time we trust in God, no matter how big the storms are, and no matter how hard it gets, we prove that He is our rock. See, in order for this world to know that our rock is Jesus Christ, we have to hit some wind and some storms, and things got to hit our lives from time to time. Oh, it's easy to say, my rock is in Christ on a sunny day on the mountaintop, but it's harder in the valley. But that's when the world sees it. Yeah. That's when they see it. And there is no unrighteousness in Him. He won't stand the wicked. In the end, there's mercy, but in the end, there's also judgment. We see that in the psalm as well. That's what we have to tell people. Listen, why do I try to live a set apart life? Because God does not put up with unrighteousness. Right. And it's my sin and your sin that caused Him to go to the cross. It's serious to God. But then again, we can thank Him for His mercy and His loving kindness in the morning and His faithfulness at night. I gave a challenge. I don't know how good we've been doing in that challenge, but I think I'm going to give it again. We need to continue to do that. in the morning when you pray to the Lord, thank Him for His mercy. Praise Him for His mercy. And at night, think about what He's been faithful in. What He's been faithful in over time. But what has He been faithful in today that He said He would do? He's a good God.
Amen.
And we can praise Him. Not just on the Sabbath day, not just on Sunday. We can praise Him and thank Him every day. All right, we're going to open up the altar.